taking a renewal in the body of Christ, and we talk about discipleship this morning, about what God can do in and through our lives through discipleship. Started this message about 2 weeks ago, and it's going to continue on for a couple of more weeks. We're going to continue to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 through 5, where it says, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them into the square on the east. Then he said to them, Listen to me, O Levites. Consecrate yourselves now, and consecrate the house of the Lord, God of your father, and carry the uncleanness out from the holy place. Now what we see here is Hezekiah's come in. He's a young king, but he's a king that has come in on God's leadership to restore the nation in their worship and in their honor of God and who he is. They come in to put the temple back the way that God intended for it to be and bring the people back into a true worship and lifestyle that would please God and who he is. The kings before had not been doing this, and so he had to come in and make repairs to the temple, make repairs to the people's attitudes and actions, and they were doing a lot of work to get things done. And that's where we come from in this scripture as we look at Wilsonville Baptist Church and restoring ourselves to being the people of God that he would have us to be and living in the ways that he would want us to. We also move from there to the early church in Acts chapter 2. There, Luke writes, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's an exciting scripture to me. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. As he talks about what's going on in the early church, as the church is getting started, God is doing great work. And let me tell you something. God has not changed. God is still the same God. God still longs to save. So we as the church need to open our eyes to the things that we need to be doing so that we can be the church that God would have us to be. Today we're going to continue our discussion on renewal in the body of Christ. 2 weeks ago we talked about worship. Last week we talked about ministry. Today we're going to talk about discipleship. Now as we begin discipleship, we need to understand a couple of things as we get started here. Number one, I can't make you be a disciple. I can't make you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I can bring you scriptures, I can teach you, I can talk to you, I can encourage you, but you have to make a choice of whether you're willing to be a disciple or not. Number two, I can't make you be a discipler, one who disciples others. That's another choice that you have to make. And what we're going to learn today is each one of us as Christians need to continue to be disciples. We need to continue to learn. We need to continue to grow as Christians. Because I think we would all agree, none of us look exactly like Jesus at this point. Would y'all agree with that? I hope we can agree with that. We still need to be disciples. We still have to learn to do. Here's where it comes in. Each one of us needs to be discipling somebody. Or somebody. Each one of us needs to be at work teaching and leading others. It's not just the work of the staff. It's not just the work of the deacons. It's not just the work of the Sunday school teachers. This is every Christian needs to be discipled. We're learning and we're growing. And then there are new Christians that come in. They're more immature Christians than we are. So we teach them. As we learn from others, we continue to teach. So it's a process. What is discipleship? Now, we somewhat confuse what discipleship is through the years in what we do. We've moved it from working with people and taking people with us to do ministry and teaching them in those kind of ways, and we moved it into a classroom. And we call it discipleship training. Now, there's nothing wrong with putting it in a classroom. There's nothing wrong with teaching in that kind of way. It's a good thing. But it doesn't need to stop there. And that tends to be where we stop. It tends to be where we stop spending time with others, doing ministry and teaching others and leading them and helping them to grow in their walk with Jesus Christ. It needs to be done one-on-one. It needs to be done together as we work to grow and become who we need to be. There's so much more to discipleship than just going into a class and reading some scripture and talking about what we need to be doing. It's actually getting out and doing it together. We're to make disciples as we grow in maturity. Well, let's talk about what that means for just a few minutes. The word disciple means follower. More specifically, what we're talking about is being a Jesus follower. A disciple of Jesus Christ, a Jesus follower. We need to learn how to think of ourselves in that kind of way. Too many times we think of the disciples as the 12. But we are disciples. We are followers of Jesus. We are Jesus followers. So we want to get that in mind. And as a follower, it also carries the connotation of imitation. Imitating the one who is discipling us. Now, if we want others to be followers of Jesus, we need to be imitators of Jesus. Y'all doing that? Does that make sense? We need to be imitators of Jesus Christ with our attitude, with our actions, and with our words. With everything about who we are, we want to look like Jesus. We want to imitate Jesus and who He is and all that He does. Now, the word disciple in the Bible referred to the 12, first section, and in a lot of places when they refer to the 12, they're talking about the 12 disciples, the 12 that he walked up to, and he said, "Follow me. Follow me." He said, telling them at that time, he's giving them a command, become a Jesus follower. When the Holy Spirit convicted our hearts of sin, we were all called to be a Jesus follower. Now, as I look around this room, every person in this room this morning at some point has said, "Yes, I want to be a Jesus follower. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that He went to the cross for me. I believe that He went to the grave for me. I believe He rose again for me. I believe He's coming back for me." That was almost an amen there. That's exciting to us. To be able to be Jesus' followers. He called us out and He said, "I want you to follow me. I want you to be like me." The word disciple is also synonymous with the word Christian. Christian. For those of us who are Christians, we're disciples. And you're saying, I've heard you say that already a couple of times. You're going to hear me say it a lot through this message. But folks, we need to get that grasp in our lives. We need to get that reality in our lives that we need to be like Jesus in all that we are. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, the Bible says, "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. Disciples of Jesus want to be like Jesus. Not just talk about being like Jesus. Not just think about being like Jesus. But doing what it takes to become like Jesus. So that we look like Him. We sound like Him. Folks, there are some here today that want to be more like Jesus. And as we go through our church day today, there's going to be a lot of people that need help. They're looking for somebody to step up. They're looking for somebody to reach into their life and say, I care about you. I see something in you. Come and let's serve together. Let's do some type of ministry. Let's go meet some need together. Let's share together in what God is doing. You imitate Jesus, and others imitate you. It's what Paul was saying when he was saying, do what I do. Be like I am. Paul wasn't saying I'm perfect. Now, there were times that Paul laid out before the people how sinful he was, how bad a person he was, how undeserving he was. And what he wanted the people to see was, this is a man striving with all that was within him to be like Jesus, to look like Jesus, to sound like Jesus. If every Christian needs to continue to be disciples, if you think you've arrived, I've got news for you. You have. You have. We don't look just like Jesus. We have not arrived yet. My Bible tells me the time that I'm going to look just like Him is the time that I go home to be with Him. And until that time, I've got work to do. I've got an effort to put forth. I've got changes that need to take place. Folks, as hard as changes are for us, we all need to make them in our lives. We need to make them in the things that are going on so that we can be more like Jesus and the world around us can see that in us. Every Christian needs to be discipling someone. We need to be investing what Jesus Christ has invested in us in other people. We talked about gifts last week. We talked about using those gifts in ministry and service for Jesus Christ. There are other people that have those same gifts that we have. We need to be helping them to develop those gifts and to learn and to grow. And it's a pleasure to learn and serve together. We're always learning. We're always leading. Folks, whether you realize it or not, there's somebody that's watching you. They're watching you. They see you how you handle things when things are good. They see how you handle things when things don't go the way you want them. They hear your voice. They hear the tone in your voice. Because a lot of times we try to hide things, but sometimes the tone of our voice and the look on our face doesn't hide very much. Y'all realize that? We need to be like Jesus. We need to watch and serve Him. And folks, we're to be disciples. We are to disciple others. We're to disciple others. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. We lead people to Jesus, and we teach them to be followers of Jesus. We teach them to look like Jesus. Now, understand this. This is not a suggestion that He's making. It's not something that He says, if you feel like it. This is a command that He gives. He says, you go and make disciples. Make disciples. Discipleship is important in the church. Folks, when we fail to be making disciples of others, we're failing God. we're failing God in what He has commanded us to do. We're failing God in teaching others to be followers of Jesus. Because as we teach others how to follow Jesus and look more like Jesus every day, this world around us responds to that. We look at the early church. We see people coming day after day after day to be saved. They see something happen. They want to be a part of it. Because it's special. It's good. It's exciting. They see something different in the people. And what's the difference? They still live in the same place. They still go to the same God. But Jesus has come into their life. And it's made a difference. They're changed in who they are. They're excited about who they are. They're excited to be together. They're excited to work together as the church. We need that excitement to get out and to live a life with Jesus Christ. And we must live it in front of us. Philippians 3:17 says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." This is something I want us to get a grasp of this morning. Christianity is not Can we understand that? Christianity is not Christ. I try to talk to people about Jesus all the time, and I get this answer quite often. That's Christ. That's my business. But folks, if you're a Christian, it's everybody's business. We got to realize that. It's everybody's business. Everybody ought to know, and it's something we will not be ashamed of. We want the world to know it. We're excited about who we are in Christ. Are you excited this morning about who you are in Jesus? We need to be. And the world needs to see that in us and through us. It's very public in who we are. And folks, it doesn't have to be real loud in our words because we live it. And then our words can be soft and loving and caring. An exciting thing to do. And God has called you to teach one-on-one. You say, "Well, I don't have the gift of teaching." Well, you may not have the gift of teaching, but you've been called out to teach. Every one of us. There are things that we do that we are not gifted in. But teaching one-on-one is living it in front of others. In Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God." Folks, there are people at Wilsonville Baptist Church that are worthy of being saved. There are people here that live out. They live it out so that others can see Jesus in them. These people are not perfect. They display a Christ-like attitude as they continue to grow spiritually in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, it's not normal to remain at the lowest level of knowledge and action. What is normal is to strive. Do it better tomorrow than we're doing it today. Do it better next week, better than we did it last week. To live it out in a way that the world around us can see and know that we are excited about Jesus Christ. Folks, when you become a Christian, the goal is not to just get in the door. That seems to be what a lot of people want to do. They want to get in the door of heaven. If I can just get in the door, I'll be happy. Folks, when we've got security in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we want to do more. We know we've got a Savior that gave it all for us. He laid everything down for us. We need to step up. We need to grow up. And I wonder today, who's willing to step up and begin to disciple others? We grow and we become more mature in Christ. That maturity in Christ is going to lead us to disciple others. The goal of every Christian should be to disciple someone, one on one. Folks, we've got a lot of people in this church. We've got a lot of younger families that struggle. They want to do something, but they don't know what to do. They want to serve, but they don't know how to serve. They try to jump in, but they don't know how to do whatever it is they're jumping in to do. They need you. They need you to come along beside them. They need you to encourage them. They need you to lift them up and help them as they walk through the different situations that they go through. Sometimes they may do it different from you. They may not do something. Folks, I'm saying it. You can learn from them too. Hear that? We can learn from them too. Sometimes I hear words from my grandchildren's mouths that make change in my life. We can hear things. We can see things. They can do things different, and it still be good. We don't have to change who they are to be just like us. We don't have to change. Because we need to be just like them. We're growing. We're learning. We need to grasp that. And folks, it's worth the effort. And when I say it's worth the effort, let me tell you something. It takes effort. It takes effort. Sometimes we have to bite our tongue. Sometimes we have to hold our breath. But it's worth it. It's worth it to see people growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ. It's worth it seeing Jesus followers actually following Jesus. Now, we're not here just to sit in a pew week after week after week. We talk about that with worship. We talk about that with ministry. We'll talk about that with discipleship. It's not about just coming to sit or coming to enjoy or coming to see a show. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about coming to worship. It's about coming to learn. It's about coming to lead and be who Christ wants us to be. And folks, it takes faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." And folks, faith is hard sometimes. You don't agree with that? Faith is hard. Because we can't see the outcome. We're trusting God for the outcome. And here's where it gets real hard. We're trusting God for the outcome that is best. Not what we always want. Not the direction we always want to go in. Not always the easiest step to take. But we're trusting God because He knows what is best. Always. And He's working for your best. We trust Him in that. We trust Him in that. That's faith. We don't try to move it around so it works best for what we want. We don't try to change God's plan around to fit what we want. We're not asking God to join us in our plan. We're asking God to allow us to be in what He wants. You realize that? He's already got the plan. He's already laid it out. He's on the call. Doesn't mean we understand the outcome. Doesn't mean we understand what we're going through. But we understand we've got a God in every situation of our life. He tells us His faith is what brings us God. When we stand up in faith, we're demonstrating to others what it means to be Jesus' Father. Once again, it takes effort. 1 Timothy 4, 7-10 says, that have nothing to do with worldly fables, yet only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this gift we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially for you. Everybody likes to look good, don't they? Stuck in our gut. We go on a diet. We watch what we eat. We exercise. And folks, there's nothing wrong with it. I try to do all those things. Check yourself in the gut. Back in October, I hurt my back. I hadn't been able to work out. I hadn't been able to do what I'd been doing before. I noticed my stomach's gotten bigger. So I hadn't been able to get on the treadmill. I hadn't been able to do the things that I love to do. I hadn't been able to play golf in a month. So I continue to read. Continue to go to the hospital. Gary and I are doing our best to continue to go on Monday night. They continue to want to interfere with that a lot. I think God's got something in that pretty special too. Spiritual things are much greater than physical. Physical things make us feel good about ourselves. These are the things that matter. And folks, it takes effort for us to get in there and do those kind of things. We need to read our Bible. We need to pray. We need to do Bible study. Not just on our own, but with other people. We need to worship. We need to fellowship. We need to minister. Folks, we do these kind of things till it comes natural. And that ought to be a natural thing to deal with. It ought to be a natural thing to talk to others about. It ought to be a natural thing to invite people to church. It ought to be a natural thing to invite others. It ought to be a natural thing for us by this point in our lives to realize sometimes I don't do it the right way. Sometimes my way is not the way it needs to be done. Sometimes I need to listen. Sometimes I need to open my eyes and hear. The folks, it takes all. It takes every single thing. Church to work properly, it takes all. And I want to close this message with several questions. I want you to think of this. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Folks, I'm not asking, do you believe in Jesus? I'm not asking you, are you a church member? I'm not asking you this morning, do you give, or do you serve, or do you attend? But I'm asking you, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you take up your cross and follow him? Are you a follower? Are you a learner? Do you study the Word of God? Do you read the Bible regularly? Do you think about how you can bring your life into harmony with God? Do you think about how you can imitate His? Do you evaluate your life on a regular basis and consider whether you are growing in the grace and knowledge. Are you actively seeking to develop Christ-like spirit? What needs to develop and what needs to be done away with? Are you living at peace with the other members of your family? Do you seek reconciliation when there is conflict? Do you forgive? Are you confessing your sins to God and asking His forgiveness and seeking His grace to take those sins on prayer? Are you willing to be the disciple? Are you ready to be the disciple of God that calls you out? This morning, I invite you to come to your office. I invite you to come and sit on the front pew. We're talking about renewal. We're talking about a renewal for our church family. We've got to remember this. It begins with Jesus in our lives. Nobody can be renewed. You have to make sure. What is Jesus? Come before you now. We praise you. Thank you for loving us. Yeah. We thank you that you want us to be followers of you. We call it to God. Father, in that we do so open our eyes to the Father and allow you to do it. What you call us to do. Father, many times we get late. Caught up in all that's going on around. We read things that encourage you. We hear things that encourage you. But Father, we have a hope in the world of us.